Hello and welcome to Hustle, a new podcast providing industry advice for women in music. Are you passionate about music and want to stop the hustle and make your dreams a reality? Then this is the podcast for you. Not only do I interview other female artists, but labels, promoters, collectives, and everything in between. I also dive into the nitty-gritty business and marketing side. You can expect positive energy, motivation, a lot of laughs, and of course, inspiring guests. Hosted by myself, Eliza, the founder of Good Vibes Only Music, I'm a full-time DJ and entrepreneur. Thank you for listening. Please follow and subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Peace, love, and good vibes always. So today we're going to be speaking to Eve. She's a singer, songwriter, producer, and founder of Peaks Music UK. Eve's journey started out at the Brit School. She signed to Polydor, EMI, and toured internationally. She's also a qualified sound engineer, co-founder of a production agency, and a native instruments specialist. Eve, welcome to the podcast. Thank you for taking the time to speak to me.
Thank you, my darling. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's been a long time coming, our conversation, hasn't it?
It has. We've been working like next to each other, alongside each other on similar things. Definitely. It's really good to finally chat to you.
Yeah, there's so much synergy. It's unreal. Yeah. But so cool. So please tell us how you got into music. Was it always a big feature in your life? Let us know about the Brit School. We want to know everything.
Okay. It might take a while. I'll do the short version. Basically, I went to the Brit School when it first ever opened in 1991. I think I was like 13 or something. Because I was always really creative, and I was at a Catholic school, and they'd stopped doing anything creative, even sports and stuff. So I asked if I could go there. So I ended up going to the Brit School, and absolutely loved it. It was, everything. So I did contemporary jazz dance and all of the theatre stuff, from sizzling, being a bit of bacon in a pan.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who's done like beginner's drama or whatever would have been a bit of bacon sizzling in a pan. Insane.
Okay.
So I went to the Brit School, and from there I ended up joining a group, a girl group, called Montage, and we were lucky enough to be signed to Polydor in the UK, and we toured with Backstreet Boys and Boyzone and Peter Andre and all of those fantastic, Radio 1 Roadshow.
Whoa. Rewind. Rewind. Peter Andre. Peter Andre, Backstreet Boys, Boyzone. Yeah, you must have been envied by most young women, teenagers in the world.
Well, at the time we were called TLC with Balls. We were kind of like a funk rock R&B group, and we had a live band, and it was just like, we did a Cameo cover of Candy by what's their faces, Cameo. Yeah. And I remember we performed at Wembley, and you couldn't hear yourself. I think when the screams from the young kids, because Boyzone or Backstreet Boys were going to be coming on as a warm-up artist for them, it's like you just can't hear a thing, but it was a fantastic experience. We did that, and then I ended up joining another girl group called Juice and moving to Denmark.
Okay.
So we toured in Asia, in Japan, Singapore, Malaysia, Philippines, all of those places. We toured with Five, 911, all of those
911. That's a blast from the past, isn't it?
I know. Do you remember them? I remember that was in Malaysia, I think. So we did that, and that was fantastic. Our Christmas song that we did with a producer, an amazing guy called Remy, is still the most played Christmas song in Denmark, for the last 20 years.
I feel we need a link to this Christmas song. I'll put it in the show notes, shall I?
No. It's really, it's Christmas cheese.
Amazing.
But I'm not embarrassed. Like, you can't be embarrassed about it because it's part of who I am, and I loved it, and I love cheese.
Christmas number one is part of who you are. Mate, yeah. I mean, that's epic. That should be the opening statement on any CV. Christmas number one, Denmark.
It was amazing. I mean, thank you. But the great thing is we got to do the 20-year anniversary a couple of years ago in Denmark. The thing is, the story behind it is beautiful because he wrote it for his daughter when she was born. And she turned 20 on the 20-year anniversary of the song. And so she came, we performed on TV. She came and sung with us on TED. It was the most beautiful experience, like doing that a few years ago. It was amazing.
Wow. That's so, yeah, so cool.
The song's beautiful, but, you know, it's funny because everyone thinks I'm a gangster rapper. And then there's me singing like, da, 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 cheesy pop.
Oh, I'm trying not to laugh too loud in the microphone. Oh, mate, who knew? I feel like we need to like.
I'll send you the link. Why not?
Honestly, send me the link. We need more information. I want to know what I just it's like a flashback.
Oh, mate, I wore makeup. I have nails.
This girl?
Yeah, I've got a lot.
Brilliant. This is what we love about this.
Gold, isn't it? It's gold.
Gold.
God. So, yeah, after that, I came back to the UK. The group split up and so I'm still laughing. And I wanted to be a sound engineer because I was like really down. I actually got depression. Because I'd lived in a different country. I did everything backwards. I didn't get a job. I went straight into music industry.
Wow.
Straight into limousine, straight into private jet, straight into all of that. You know, ended up having to move home to, you know, no one really knowing what I'd been up to the last 3 years because all my mates were in Denmark. And, I got depression. And I remember contacting the Brit School wanting to do something with them because I was like, there is nothing for people that come back down, you know, everyone's there on the way up, and I really wanted to do something to support people that come out of the industry. Even if they're not down, it's an adjustment that you're not ready for. So that's just one of the ideas that I had. But anyway, I wanted to become a producer and an engineer because the little bit of fame that I did have, I realized I didn't like it. Because I'm the type of person who kind of like wears my heart on my sleeve, and if I'm pissed off, I'm pissed off.
Everyone knows about it on your face.
Right. Yeah, I can't hide it. And if I, walking down the street and forgetting you've been on TV that morning and people coming up to you asking for autographs and you've got to put your game face on, I'm in the middle of an argument, leave you alone. What's your name? You know, it's like, So, yeah, I was like, nah, I love the industry and I really want to be in it and I want to be respected by people in the industry. I don't want to deal with the public.
Okay.
So, yes. And I've been told I had a good ear by producers I've worked with and I really wanted to know what all the knobs were on the other side of the glass in a studio.
Yeah.
And so I studied to be a sound engineer and I went to... Gateway School of Recording, which was validated by Kingston University. And I studied sound engineering and music industry studies and graduated and then set up my own recording studio.
Amazing.
So that was in, I think, 2003. We set it up and then we won a National Business Award and an enterprise. They're on my shelf there. Enterprise in London. I know, shame.
I think it's good to have things like that you can see so that you still remind yourself that you're goddamn awesome.
Well, you know, there's one of them.
Okay.
Yeah, look.
Oh, here we go. So Eve's currently bringing it in front of the camera. We're on a Zoom interview here, so I can we're actually having a bit of a face-to-face chat. Wow, that's cool. I think it's important to have that stuff around you, not like hidden away or in a box under the bed.
Forget.
Mentally, it's important.
Yeah, you do forget. But yeah, we won that in 2005, and we won it for enterprise in Britain because we ran a social enterprise and we got funded by the Prince's Trust.
Okay.
And we did it to promote female producers and help the community, because where I come from, in Southeast London, growing up there was nothing for young people to do. I mean, when I went to the Brits, I used to have to travel 2 hours every morning and 2 hours back. And so I wanted to provide something for young people and obviously promote women in the industry. So me and one of the girls from uni set up the studio, and we let people who couldn't afford it have, you know, really subsidized rates. But back then, like, it was before Facebook or anything was even out. I mean, MySpace was starting to come out. So we were literally trying to promote women in the industry. It was like banging your head against the wall.
Yeah, like how did you actually connect with people then? Because, I mean, I remember the good old days of MySpace too. But, you know, without Facebook and Instagram and socials, I mean, unless you had somebody's phone number or the phone box around where they used to live, you never got in contact with anyone.
No, it was literally through physical networking. And, I mean, we got as far as speaking with Tiger Aspect, which is a TV company, about doing a fly-on-the-wall documentary where we go and work with Missy Elliott, because we was like, oh, that'd be amazing. But that never came to fruition, unfortunately. But the idea was there.
That is a very, very cool idea. I'd love to work with Missy Elliott.
Yeah, we had meetings about it and everything. Like, wow. She's like one of my idols. So
Yeah,
she's, you know. But, and I think that was before reality TV was out as well. I think, yeah, it was a fly on the wall type thing. Anyway, but that was the aim, to, you know, promote female producers, because she was one of the only people about. And I think, you know, at the time we were a bit ahead of our time, because now, 15 years later, we've luckily had a massive boom of women promoting women in the industry, which I absolutely love. I'm like all over it.
Yeah,
you know, and I think it's amazing that we're starting to slowly be heard and seen, and it's becoming normal.
Yeah, I mean, it's a huge male-dominated industry. I mean, that in itself is well documented, but actually, I'm part of a lot of collectives, a lot of Facebook groups, obviously Good Vibes Only. I set that up to help promote women in the industry and help empower them and get a chat going, basically. You know, like you were talking about earlier, having conversations about what you're struggling with other people, other women who have been in that situation, or maybe others that are in that situation and just want to talk as well. And, you know, just helping each other out. That is 100% what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not about competition. It's about connecting and empowering and just forcing everybody up together.
Exactly. And that is wholeheartedly what I believe in. I think sometimes these situations with women, it can still be like, yeah, I'm in these groups with these women, but we're all out for ourselves and we are competing. And I can't stand it. Like, I hate the feeling of that, because I don't ever think that we need to compete. I just don't. You know, I think every single one of us has enough talent and skill, and people are going to be drawn to you for a reason, and people are going to be drawn to the person next to you. You can offer the same thing, but they will choose. And so no one, even though we all might be doing something similar, we're still unique as humans. So coming together makes us stronger.
Oh my God. Yeah. 100%. And I genuinely believe as well is that the women that are really just out there for themselves, especially those mean girls, you know, they're not going to be around. They're not going to be around for very long. You know, they'll get to a certain point and then that will be it. And I've seen that happen on many occasions. You know, you just be nice. Be nice and great things will happen and you'll connect with other people. It's like, you know, having a magnet for being an awesome person.
Yeah.
Other awesome people just like rotate around
it's
you.
It's fun.
Yeah,
it's fun. Like, I love helping people. I get so much pleasure and enjoyment, and I don't know if it's selfish, but I don't really care, because it makes me feel so good, which is why I do training and stuff like that, because giving someone confidence, and even if it's something really small, knowing that I've been able to help someone and it could make them see themselves in the way they should see themselves, that's worth, you can't buy that.
No, you can't. No. And there's a lot of lack of confidence, I think, within women in the industry in general, just because it's so male dominated. And it might be the fact they don't have the technical ability, which they can get and they can learn, like everybody can. It's just having that voice or having that little bit of backup to give you that confidence to be like, do you know what? No, actually, I do know what I'm doing. And I've got this.
Yeah. You can learn it.
That is true.
Like, I mean, a perfect example, I haven't touched Pro Tools since I had my studio, and that was like years ago, and now I'm using it again, and it's been over 15 years, and it's literally, I was like, oh yeah, and all my shortcuts were coming back. So you're never too old. None of it matters. Just do it. And this is why I like collaborating as well, because it's hard to have that, you know, mindset on your own. And it's very easy for other people to say, do it. But when you're with someone and you collaborate with someone, they can help raise you up.
Yeah.
You know? We've literally toured, we've gone off track, haven't we?
It's cool. That's fine. I was just looking at my notes there because I was going to say, I was like Facebook stalking you actually before our little chat. And I was like, I'll make sure I've got all the links in ready for the interview. And on your Facebook page, which is We Are Peak Music UK, you got some cracking quotes and cracking inspirational bits. I was like, oh my God, I love this. Which kind of ties in quite nicely. But I mean, you're talking about your one-to-one training. So do you want to let us know a bit more about what you're offering?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, oh God, where did I stop?
Native instruments? No, hang on a second. So Brit School.
I went to the Brit School. Oh yeah, studio. Did the studio.
Did the studio. Yeah.
And then what?
The Prince's Trust.
Prince's Trust. Then I became an expert at Apple. Actually, after that.
Did you?
And then
that's not in the bio. That's not in the bio you sent me. Too much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I became an expert. Then I became a train driver for 6 years. And then when my soul was dying, and I was like, I don't care about the money. I have to go back into music, which was 3 years ago.
That's pretty interesting, actually, because I think it's good to have a bit of a break to then refocus and come back with a shitload more energy.
Well, to be honest, for me, it wasn't really a break. I got ill and had to deal with illness. And I was like having this mad love-hate relationship with music. And I'll tell you why. where I'd been... gone straight out of the Brits and become a professional artist, i.e. not needing to pay for anything, doing what I put myself under so much pressure when I got back home. I was like, I'm rubbish, I can't do it. All my friends, every single person I knew was still on television or they were still signed or they were still doing this. And I was like, just really telling myself how, you know, but I didn't realise it obviously at the time. Mm-hmm. So I ended up being like, if I've got to work and not do music, I might as well earn as much money as I can and do as little as I can, hence train driving.
Just put a little disclaimer, sorry to all train drivers if you're listening now.
Honestly, it's great. It's good, but it's very, you know,
it's quite very intense, safe. Isn't it?
Like, it's very intense, yeah. Everything's safety. But once again, I became a trainer within that role because that's kind of been an existing thing throughout. But my soul was dying. Wasn't the environment for me. Wasn't morally just not who I was. So flew back to music and I was like, and it was then that I said, I'm going to be open to everything, you know, and that brought me back to how I got into Native because I threw myself, I was crapping myself. I'd been out of the industry for like, 10 odd years. I didn't know the first, I was like, and I just kept getting emails from Native and I'd had a Machina Mark One that sat on my table for about 6 years before I even touched it because I didn't know what to do with it. It was just this square thing with pads on it and I was like, oh, what am I meant to do? Yeah. And I got this email about this meetup and I was like, don't know what it is, don't know, I'm just going to go to it. And it was a Sunday and I just drove there on my own and just rocked up. And I was like, the two things I'm going to do is have fun and be open to everything. And I went along, had a great day. It was a day of like learning how to use native products. I'd spoke to people. It gave me that fire in my belly again. And then by the time the next native meetup came round, I was on the team as part of one of the native meetup people doing stuff on Machina, insights on Machina. And I threw myself into Red, you know, Normal Not Novelty. Did you go to any of them in Red Bull Studios?
Yeah.
So met a load of ladies there. You know, it was brilliant. I loved, and I was like, yes, this is what we're talking about. This is what should have been happening 15 years ago. And I was just going on my own. I was like, yeah, bam. You know, because also where I produced with another girl years ago, I didn't think I was good enough on my own. So all of this stuff was happening in the background. And I have realised, you know, by going out and doing this, I've started to be able to call myself a producer. And I've started allowing myself to call myself a songwriter because I know I'm good at it. You know, I might not be selling number ones, but I know I'm a really good songwriter. You know what I mean? And I might not be producing tracks every minute of every day, but I know I'm good at doing it because I've done it enough times. Do you know what I mean? And so I gave myself permission to call myself a singer, songwriter, producer. Whereas before I wouldn't do it because I was like, oh, I haven't got anything to show.
I think that comes up. It's like an imposter syndrome, isn't it? That they talk about where you don't believe in yourself, even though you're the dog's bollocks, basically. You don't believe that you can do it. And you think that, oh my God, somebody might realize that I'm a really shit DJ and I can't actually do this or something. They'll find out I'm a fraud, but actually you've got this. And it's, you know, I have these worries sometimes, but I'm like, I have to have a little cheeky word with myself and be like, come on now. You got this. You're doing this. You've been doing this for years. You know, if that was the case, you wouldn't be where you are now. But it's just, you know, you just have to realize and just give yourself a little bit of a, like a pat on the back really sometimes, don't you? And a pep talk.
Yeah, 100%. Like, and it was going through this process that you know, allowed me to see that the years that where I was telling myself I was rubbish was my own fault because I was allowing those thoughts to occur. But that's why hindsight's so beautiful. But, you know, I am proud that I've gone through it. Because I do believe as well, your journey's meant to be yours and it's made me believe in myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I've always believed in myself quietly. Otherwise I would never have put myself in the situations I have. And I would never have driven myself to do the things I've done. But, you know, and this is why I'm so passionate about mental health as well. But yeah, so then I just like I'm driving and then I was like, right, I want to set up a company. And as we were saying before about the songwriting retreats, we both experienced retreats that that we
I can laugh again now. Oh yes, the retreats, the lovely retreats that we have painstakingly blood, sweat and tears. God. Anyone wants to know the reality of running a retreat, privately message me.
Yeah.
Or you. Yeah. I mean, you know, but we're still in it. And I mean your retreat's happening in, is it end of June, beginning July?
I actually can't remember the date. It's definitely June. Yeah, June
May,
next year.
Come on. I think it's the end of June. End of June, beginning of July, in a beautiful location in Italy.
Yes, it's in the mountains in Italy and it's stunning. Like, it's a friend of mine's house in the mountains, big house, and he's an engineer, producer, and he rents out his studio anyway. He's a lovely guy. And so he has a studio in one half of the house because it's like two houses connected. It's great. So the studio is one half and he's literally built it all himself and it's stunning. Yeah, amazing. It's called Mushroom Studios, so definitely go check it out. And so we're running the retreat together. It's a week in Italy in a beautiful hotel with beautiful catering and locally sourced food and wine.
I love Italy. It's one of my favourite places to travel. We're about an hour and a half from Italy, from here in Morzine, through the Mont Blanc Tunnel. And me and my boyfriend spent about 3 weeks traveling in the van in Italy recently. Well, wow. Before lockdown. And the food, the wine, the people. I mean, it is next level amazing. So
it is.
I might have to come on your retreat just for the food, I think.
I might have to come on yours because it's in Split and I love Split. It's stunning.
We'll do a swap.
Yeah. You know what? That's not actually a bad idea. We'll talk about that after.
Yeah. Let's go. But anyway, so you've got this retreat happening. I will post some details about the retreat and links in the notes. But you set up Peak Music, and then from that you've got the retreats, the workshops, the everything else.
Yeah. So Peak
under
Music,
that one umbrella, right?
Yeah. It originally started just the retreats, and then I started doing a lot more for Native Instruments, and was focusing solely on Machina Mark III. So then I started doing, because I'm a singer and a songwriter and producer, I noticed there was a gap where I'd have like singers, songwriters come to me and be like, I want to record, so I'm kind of giving them some techniques on vocals and stuff. And I realized they know nothing about production talk or production slang. And they didn't, you know, and they have like, even if, so as a producer, if I say, it's sounding a bit muddy, a singer-songwriter wouldn't really know what I was talking about. And I'm talking like guitar, keyboard singer-songwriters, like traditional
songwriters.
I ended up working with this singer about and giving her some kind of ideas and you know, advice on the type of wording that we use, and showing her a few bits like how to use reverb and how this would be used to make her vocal sound like this. And she was like, oh, that's amazing, because now when I go to a studio, I actually have an idea of what I'm talking about. So I was like, my God, we talk two different languages. How can an artist who's emotional about their work get over to a producer that they need to have their song sounding like this? And producers use different language. So I started, you know, doing production workshops for songwriters.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing. Like, and I suppose nobody does until they're in a situation where they can't get across what they want to get across to a producer or the artist or.
Yeah. And the aim is literally just to show artists how they can get their ideas down. That, you know, even if you play guitar or keys, you can put it into a machine and sample it and start making a beat, you know?
Cool. That's so very cool.
Yeah.
Press them buttons.
Yeah. I have to give you, oh my God, I'm so going to give you a lesson.
Oh my God, you should, but well, let's just see. I did start production lessons, as my friend Colin will probably tell you, but it's just time, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where's your focus? And I would love to produce some music, especially some dirty drum and bass. Oh, yeah. That's where my heart's at. But
yes.
Yeah. After the retreats, let's talk about production.
Yes. Yeah. Put it on the list.
Put it on the list. Exactly. Put it on the list. So so what else did I want to talk to you about? So we have covered the retreat. What advice would you give for women starting their production journey?
I would say literally dive head first. Dive in. It's the only way.
It's a deep pond though, isn't it? Like,
yeah, it is a deep pond. I actually have a YouTube channel that does walkthroughs on Machina, and I did one recently on Ableton because I'm learning Ableton myself.
I think I saw something. Were you not learning it live, and you were taking the Mickey out of yourself because you were messing up or something? Was that?
Yeah. So I filmed myself because I'd just been kind of given an introduction. So I filmed myself trying to figure out where everything was. and I called the series "What the Hell Is This?" because when you use something like Logic, which is all horizontal, you go into Ableton and you've got a vertical and a horizontal, and they don't really work together, but they do. It's like crazy. It's a whole nother beast. And so I was like, "What the hell is this?" And so I named it that.
Perfect.
You know, and I was like, other people probably are going to be going through this type of thing as well, where they're trying to change doors. And so I would, if I was a producer now, I would literally just say, find a door that works for you and learn it.
Okay, so but, pick the Ableton door or pick the Logic door or...
Yeah, Logic, Ableton, Machina has, like, if you buy a Machina, it has its own little door with it, which is very similar to Ableton. You can work in different ways and you can use it alongside any other door as well. But I would say learn how to use it, but you don't need to learn everything about it.
Okay.
Because that's where people get lost. Like, years ago... In the Pro Tools days, you would have to learn how to, you know, create stuff in the environment window. And it was very techy. Now they make doors so that they're very user friendly and creativity is at the forefront. So everything is quick. Everything's like practically pre-done for you. So if you have a creative mind, allow it to be used. Do you know what I mean? Don't get caught up in the techy stuff. And once you've got used to the basics, the other things will slowly come to you.
Okay, because I think that's where most people, me personally as well, apart from the whole time aspect, but then maybe I should be putting some more time aside. I think you get to a point and you're like, oh, fuck, there is so much to learn and maybe this isn't for me, because you're trying to think about the whole picture as opposed to like, okay, I'm going to open one panel of the door and I'm going to work on that until I can open the second panel of the door.
Yeah.
Or the third panel, and then maybe somebody can help me with the fourth and fifth. That's a great bit of advice.
Yeah, we want to just get in and think, yeah, well, why haven't I made a number one hit?
Yeah, that's
it. Open my door, where's my track? I had my mum up here the other day and I was like, Mum, look, get on this. I had the Machina here and I was like, press that browser button. Right, yeah. Now move that knob. See that pack there? That's a Caribbean pack. Press that. Now scroll down, pick your pack, and they all came out on the pads and I went, hit them knobs there and then pads there, you know, this is your note repeat. She literally, we started laying down the track in,
oh my god,
10 minutes.
Mate, did you record that? Like, no, did you record the video of it?
I'm gonna it's made me think of doing a YouTube thing about me and my mom, like teaching her how to use it.
Oh my god, I mean, I think that's brilliant. I would watch it.
And she's like 67.
Yeah.
68 now.
Pressing buttons. Like,
why not?
Making a track with her daughter. Can you imagine what she's telling her friends? What were you doing this Sunday?
Right.
Yeah, I was putting down a track with my daughter.
Yeah, doing a dub track.
Yeah. That is amazing. Yeah. That is so cool.
So
I think it's a great bit of advice.
And that's the thing. I want to nurture young women coming into this, because it is overwhelming. It really is. And it's almost like you do need, like, people like us, a constant ear to say it's okay, like,
yeah,
one step at a time.
Yeah, that's it. And I mean, there's so many other people in the industry as well. I've just joined up with a group, the 2% Rising.
Yeah, I'm in that group.
Is that your group or it's your part of
that
group?
No, it's Katie Tavini, Rooks, and Susie.
I've actually got Katie coming on here in, is it next? It might be next week or the week afterwards. I'm going to be interviewing her. Yeah.
So Katie, I met at Normal Not Novelty. She was the mastering engineer at Normal Not Novelty, and we've been in touch ever since. And I recently spoke to him about the campaign that I want to do to see if they could support me on it. So it's a fantastic group. Like, I had an interview I can't remember the name of the magazine now. Shame.
Hang on, I think I've got it here.
Audio.
Was it Audio Media International?
Yeah, international. Yeah,
yeah. I was reading that while I was stalking you again earlier. Even though I know, you know, it's always good to have other little things to ask people about. Like.
Yes, and so that interview came through the 2% Rising group.
Wow.
Yeah, and they offer such fantastic opportunities. They're always posting job opportunities. Every week there's like a Zoom chat, and one week it could be like everyone, you know, having a listening session so people play their tracks. It could be a Skillshare. I've already done a Skillshare with them on Machina, where, you know, you just show your skill. Katie did one on mastering recently as well. I think Rooks did one as well. It's just, they're really cool women, and they're just it's exactly what they're online with what we're doing, you know, and they're really paving the way. They really are paving the way for women. And it's, a pleasure to be in that group. And once again, like I said to you earlier, it's about everyone working together.
Yeah, and it's very focused again for productions. It's not just like, I mean, there's lots of other female groups out there. Female DJs London, there's the my one, of course, Good Vibes Only Music. But lots of them are not, are kind of, they cover everything. Whereas this is very production focused. Unless you've got something production focused to talk about, do not post in that group. And I think that's key, actually, to keep it in a particular column, and then everybody gets something out of it. It's really interesting. And there are so many active women in that group as well, from what I've seen. And it's cool. I'm glad they invited me or allowed me to be part of their group.
100%. It is one of the one groups that I'm very much active in. Because you find yourself signing up to all these groups, and then by the time you know it, you're in 30, you know, groups, women's something groups, or just production or songwriting, you're in hundreds. And this one is very active, but not just chatting. It really does offer great stuff.
Mm. Yeah, job, like you're saying, job posts, and then there's been other interviews and stuff. Yeah, it's a cool one. So if anyone's looking, 2% rising, only if you're interested in production. Or maybe moving into production, but no one wants to see your live stream in there.
No.
Definitely not.
No. You will not be allowed.
No. what else have you got? What else are you focusing on project-wise at the moment?
So I'm literally hoping to launch a campaign in a few weeks, and it's still based on what we've been discussing. So it's based on me trying to do my part to, I guess, increase the voice of women in the industry. And the aim behind it is to get in touch with women that are in the industry, whether it's DJs, songwriters, producers, engineers, radio pluggers, basically any type of job that you're doing in the industry as a woman and are the minority.
Yeah.
And this campaign is based on, I have t-shirts that I will be sending out to people that want to take part. They have to take a picture of themselves in the t-shirt, post it on their socials. I then will be interviewing them as well. And the idea is to get 100 plus women, so that I end up with a beautiful black and white coloured book of all of these faces of these women in the industry and their stories. The book will be published, and anything I make from that book is going to go into production and songwriting training for young women.
Wow. We didn't really speak about this. You're like, I got a project I'm going to be talking about. So I was like, cool, let's dip on that now. But oh my God, that is amazing. It's called
Stories of the Unheard. And
Stories of the Unheard. What a great name, because it's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we don't want to be like, it's a male-dominated industry, but women have got such a good story to tell.
Yeah,
That's what I mean.
It sounds like, quite, because on the t-shirts it will say I'm one of the unheard, but I also have t-shirts saying I support the unheard. And I've got a lot of guys actually that really believe in the increase of the percentage of women in the industry, that really support it and really support women's equality, and they've already signed up, which is fantastic. So it's about not only the women, but people that support the cause as well. Mm. And I will not stop until I feel I've helped make that percentage go from 2 or 1 up to 50.
Mate, I mean, that is a bold statement, but amazing. I mean, as if you need anything else to do, project life-wise, now you're doing this. This is unreal.
I don't know how it's going to pan out.
So how do people, women or men supporting women or the industry, how do we sign up for this? How do we get a t-shirt?
I'm going to launch it in a couple of weeks, and I'll be, anyone who shows their interest will contact me. I'll send them out a link on how they can buy the t-shirt.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they will obviously take a picture.
Yeah.
Obviously, if I interview them and they're in the book, they'll get a much, you know, professional picture taken for the book. But so it's a long running campaign. But I really think people's stories need to be heard. And every single one of us has a different story and a different journey into the industry and different experiences around working in a male dominated industry.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I'm like, tell your friends, share it, whatever. But yeah,
oh my God.
I wanted something to be visually representing, you know, as well across the board, all of us coming together.
I think, yeah, well, I mean, so for social media, I mean, it has to be that way now anyway, doesn't it? This is fantastic. I can't wait to find out more information about it. So once you do have this all live and ready to go, please, please, please send it over so I can share it to the world and all those other Facebook groups. And
diamonds. Yeah, I'd
put it in my newsletter. Ooh.
Yeah, well, thank you. And then I can say that I've got the support of the amazing you, darling.
Well, I don't know about that.
Oh, come on. You're doing fantastic things, honestly.
Plugging away.
Proper inspiration you are.
Trying to keep out of trouble in these troubled times, basically.
Yeah, stay sane.
Yeah, it's mental, isn't it? What how are things going to roll for you work-wise? I mean, apart from all these other projects you're doing, but are you moving to a more of an online training platform? Do you think you'll be able to get back in the studio anytime soon? What's happening in the UK?
I thought about it. I mean, so I've got my Marlowe and the Magpie thing, which is kind of like a website that we built during lockdown, which is aimed at sync. It's very, very new. And it's me and a guy, and we've done all of the compositions and created the website via Zoom.
Okay.
And that's aimed for like TV and film. I've got that side of things happening.
What's that called again?
Marlowe and the Magpie.
And the Magpie. Okay. Yeah. Is there a website?
There is marlowandthemagpie.com.
Okay. I was going to say, do I dare say Instagram?
The Instagram. I mean, there's no photos on it at the minute, but it's brand new and Instagram's not really my focus for it because it's going to be mainly industry. That will just be for jobs that we've got.
Okay.
When we get them, so it's on the back burner at the minute as I haven't had a lot of time.
No way.
I plan to kind of like go with that beginning of next year. So I just guess more songwriting stuff I'm probably thinking about doing online, but that again will be in the new year. And So I'm at Fitzrovia Post 2 days of the week as an engineer producer. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which is a post production company for like TV, film, and stuff like that. Yeah,
yeah. Excellent. Oh my God, you've got so much on your plate. I mean, if it's not the retreat, it's one to ones online.
2-year-old baby alive.
2-year-old baby. Oh my God. Wow. You are literally like superhuman.
There are some women out there that are literally raising like 4 or 5 kids on their own. So, you know, hands up. I do my best.
You've kept it alive for 2 years. Hats off, mate. Hats off.
It's been hard.
That's it. So is it a little boy or a little girl?
Her name's Nova.
Nova.
Yeah.
Oh, sounds cute already.
Yeah, she
That's
is.
That's it. So what does a normal day at the moment look like for you then?
Well, they change. One day I'll be looking after the baby. I'll get up at sometimes 5 in the morning before she gets up to respond to emails and do things that I know I won't be able to do because you need to, you know, give them your undivided attention. I might be able to squeeze something in when she has a nap. And then the week split up between me and my partner working. So if she's working, I'll have the baby. If I'm working, she has the baby. And then it's like, get up, you know, but it's different things every day. Like today I've been trying to work on editing, a songwriting class that I'm doing. It can be anything.
Yeah.
But I love it.
Wow. That must keep you on your toes, I reckon. Hey.
It does. It does. You know, but it's what, you know, it's who I am. I wouldn't have it any other way.
No. That's yeah, that's pretty cool. It's like being a mum and being in the music industry and then trying to do all these projects on top. It's that's a full-time occupation, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is. But you know, if I wouldn't be able to do it if I didn't believe that they could work.
No, and you just make it work, don't you? I think that's a little bit of advice that I give to anybody that's thinking about taking that leap from, you know, giving up their real job to then follow their career in music, is that you just will make it work. Doesn't matter whether you're having a baby, doesn't matter whether you're taking that leap, doesn't matter what you're doing. If you believe in yourself, you can do anything. It's having
that. And another great piece of advice, because I've been really guilty of this. I always think everything needs to be done and, oh, I need to get this video edited because I wanted to get it done on Saturday. There are no deadlines. And, you know, there are, but there aren't. Yeah. Deadlines are yours. And in a way, yes, you should keep to, like, certain deadlines as a whole, but nothing bad is going to happen if you have to do it the day after.
It's not going to be the end of the world. You've put all this pressure on yourself. If it comes, if you have to do it on Monday, the world still revolves. Life still carries on.
Yeah. I'm really guilty of that myself. I don't, you know, I've just started allowing myself our Sunday family day not to think of work.
I'm with you on that one. I have to put days by in the week where I don't open the laptop. Or I don't check my emails. I mean, not that I'm super, super busy. I think in the winter season, personally, it's very hectic for me. But now and actually thank you, COVID, because COVID's given me a bit more structure to my working week. And I've taken a note of what's important and what's not. So like on a Monday, like yesterday, is a day that I don't do anything. I kind of pot around the house, sort dogs out, you know, do a few things for me, the shopping, the whatever, like. And then, you know, Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays are the days that I crack on with things like this.
Yeah.
World domination plans.
Yeah.
Wednesday is a day that I kind of try to have off from fitness and do other stuff. And the weekend, I generally try to spend with my boyfriend unless he's working on a Saturday. And then I might check something on a Saturday or write something up. But it's making sure the rest of the time you don't, you need that time off, mentally need that time off.
You really do. And it's so nice, you know, otherwise you just burn out.
Yeah, especially self-employed, there is no off, is there? You really got to actually take that switch, turn it off, lock it behind a door and come back to it the next day. It's like leaving the office. You have to mentally leave the office.
Yeah, you really, really do. And it's a discipline that I'm still learning.
Yeah, me too, though. I get a good cheeky reminder now and again from my partner, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. I actually wrote it in one of my songs. That's like one of the singles that I released. There's a bit in the break in the middle eight that says put your phone down.
my boyfriend, my partner's always like, what are you doing now? And I'm like, oh, I'm just Instagram. And he's like, really, like now? I'm like, no excuse for it. There literally is no excuse for it. Yep. It doesn't need to happen. Nope. Nobody gives a flying F-U-C-K, do they?
No.
It's funny. Yeah. So good to chat to you, mate. So good.
You too, man. Honestly, it's been brilliant.
Yeah. I feel like we could just talk for hours. We're basically the same person. Well, I'd like to think I was the same person as you, like, for all these projects.
I will stop that. Of course you are.
That's so funny.
Speak again.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we'll just keep this up. I'll just keep harassing you to talk to me. So if people are trying to follow you and get in contact with you, I've got your Instagram as Peak Music UK.
Yeah.
So cheeky follow there. The website is peakmusic.uk. Awesome. And that's where you can find out about the retreats, the events, the one-to-ones, the workshops. And then Facebook, definitely click onto your Facebook page, which is We Are Peak Music UK, because just the quotes are enough to get you through the day. They're brilliant. Oh, I'm so happy.
Thank you.
I love the artwork. Like, it's definitely
that's like my logo, basically.
Yeah, I saw that. That's cool, actually. Continuity comes into the business.
Well, you know.
Branding. Yeah, that's it, isn't it? Cool. Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on again. And we will catch up for another episode of the podcast next month or the month after.
Yeah, I look forward to it.
Wicked.
Well excited. Thank you so much.
Yep, and you, take care.
Bye.
You've been listening to Hustle, industry advice for women in music. Thanks again for taking the time to listen to this podcast. Please, please, please follow, subscribe, rate and give us a review. Help us to move up in the iTunes chart so that we can bring you more and more amazing guests. Thanks again. For more info on what we're up to, please check out our website, www.goodvibesonlymusic.com. Peace, love, and good vibes always. See you next week.